Right? And so today we're beginning our study of the book of 1 John. You have 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and we'll study through all those over the next few weeks. And today's just a brief introduction. We're not going to begin to unpack the text at length today, but I wanted to introduce it to you. Also wanted to remind you, if you're new with us, is the little symbol underneath the 1st John there. That is the icon for the YouVersion Bible app. If you have that, all of today's notes are available to you there now, and you can take your own notes. And what we encourage you to do is come back on Wednesday night for focus service, and all of your notes will still be there, and we can discuss maybe a thought, an idea, or a question that you may have. So anytime you see that come up, and there's one in today's message, I've given you a link where you can learn more than I can unpack for you in our time together. So let's go ahead and get started. When you read the Bible, you always want to look for the nuggets. There's a lot of context, and that's very important. But what's equally important is finding the nugget. What's in my mind, what I'm seeing here is it's like a hinge. Have you ever had a door that has a hinge without a pin in it? I've got a cabinet door right now at my house. I actually bought a new hinge, but it's in the back of my car. So how do you think that cabinet door is working? Not bueno. Not bueno. I'm hoping I got the right one. We're going to see. And if I didn't, I'm blaming the guy at Lowe's. I'm not taking responsibility. That may get fixed today, or it may not. I don't know. But you can have a hinge, and a hinge is good. A hinge keeps something in place. A hinge adds purpose to something. But if you have a hinge without a pin, then really you just got calamity waiting to happen. Whether it's the cabinet door falling off and tearing out the other hinge, or whether it's pinching your kid's finger between the door. Ugh. Let's just think about that. Anyway, so a hinge is very important, but the pin in the hinge is of immeasurable importance. And so in the letter of 1 John, I wanted to discuss with you briefly today the pin of the hinge. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "I write these things to you who believe." Now, these letters are written to believers. And so you may be sitting here today and you say, "Jimmy, I'm not a Christian, so I don't need to listen." Well, listen, every word of God is valuable. And just because its primary audience is Christians, I want you to know God's word can speak to you too. And I promise it'll speak to you. It says, "I wanted to write these things to you believers," Christians, "to you believers, in the name of" who? "In the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life." Now, when I look at a passage of Scripture like this, one, I'm thinking, how could I boil that down and make that a tweet? Because I think that's probably a little too many notes. Hey, Josh, you're on Twitter, right? Slinkered? Okay, will you see if that fits? And if you do, okay, awesome. I'm just curious, and be sure and link me in that tweet. Give me credit. Anyway, but when I look at something like this, I see the hole, and you're going, that's too big for a bumper sticker. And if you take time and you pray and you really want to boil it down, you can find what's the meat. I can't think of what the song is, but it talks about the marrow of the bone. And what's the marrow of this? Well, as I thought about it and I studied, I thought, you know, I may just leave it for you to wander and let you just go wander. And I thought, nah, you pay me to help you. So I clarified it. He says, "I write these things to you who believe." This is for believers. This letter is to believers. And so there's a like-mindedness. There's a sense of commonality. Let me ask you this. Do all believers believe exactly the same? No. Can all believers believe some different things and still be believers? Yeah, absolutely. There are some pillars of our faith that are non-negotiable. I believe the inerrancy of Scripture is non-negotiable. The bodily incarnation, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is negotiable. Thank you. The sinless life of Christ is a non-negotiable. We'll just go with there. But there's other things that are negotiable. Worship styles. You may like this, and some people don't like this, and you know, it's okay. I actually had someone call me recently. And they said, "Hey, we're moving to Greenville. We're kind of looking for a church." And we're, you know, I said, "Awesome." I said, "Are you familiar with church lingo?" And he goes, "Yeah." I said, "Okay." I said, "Well, we're a modern church." I said, "We have a live band." And I explained some things to him. And he goes, "Oh." He says, "Well, you know, we're really kind of more traditional." I said, okay. I said, well, help me understand what traditional means. He goes, well, you know, we like choir. We like a choir. I said, okay, okay. I said, well, I tell you what. I said, listen, you're welcome and wanted here. But if your preference is very, very high, then you may want to explore this. And he says, I can't believe you're telling me that I might consider another church. I said, my concern is you're where God wants you. Not that you're just adding numbers to our fellowship. It's not about the numbers. It's about where God wants people to be. He goes, I've never heard a pastor tell me that. I said, that's not true, sir. He says, why is that? I said, I just told you that. And he goes, I see your point. So anyway, that those who believe what? Listen, we've had a recent day, and I don't know if you're up to date, but we had a young lady out in Washington State who is a leader for the NAACP, and she claimed to be African-American. Now, the challenge about that is she's not African-American. She has kind of a look to her of some sort. Her parents adopted some African-American children, and they were raised as brother and sisters. She says, I identify myself as African-American, to which I say, big deal! You know, I identify myself as an Olympic athlete. Pow! Listen, just because you say so doesn't make it so. How many of us bought Air Jordans back in the day and thought, I'm going to rattle the rim? I'm lucky just to touch the bottom of the net. If I'm rattling the rim, that means I've got some little kid's rim jacked down. You know, it's not happening. So, but for those who believe, what we believe is of vital importance. The Bible teaches us that as Christians, we are to believe in some unnegotiable truths of Scripture that separate us, that delineate us, that set us apart from everything else. All roads do not lead to God, my friends. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Now, either Jesus is egotistical, Jesus is a liar, or he's just wrong, or he's right. Now, you get the privilege to decide that. But for me, Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Now, that will fit in a tweet. But that doesn't mean everyone out there believes it. And you know, I'm going to go so far as to say this. Maybe not everyone in here believes it. But he says, I'm writing to those who believe. Who believe what? The Son of God. Jesus Christ. The Messiah. The sacrifice for the sins of the world. What you believe does matter. Just because you feel something doesn't mean it's true. And just because you want it to be true doesn't mean it's true. This young lady, I'm sure, is very sincere. She's worked very hard. And you know what? You look at her life choices, and they followed a pattern that followed what her convictions are. But for her to say, I'm African-American, doesn't make her African-American. So, he says, I'm writing to those who believe. Now, what does he want to communicate to us? That you may know. Now, here's a question. How much do you know? And what do you know? You know, as Christians, that's an interesting thing. And in light of this week's events, it's even a greater challenge. Is what do you know? And it's not only what do you know, but what can you articulate? What can you communicate? Because, my friends, I want you to know, as a believer in Jesus Christ, the world no longer responds, well, because I said so. And the world no longer responds because he said so. Now, that's a spiritual issue. But just understand, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, it was a different world than it is now. Not better or worse, but definitely different. He says, I'm writing to these things to you that you may know. Brothers and sisters, there are things of faith that we can know. Amen? We can know. Now, the challenge is how do we know, and how long do we know, and how do we enforce that? That what? You have eternal life. Now, we were talking about this a little bit in morning life group. And the Bible says, you remember we were talking about, just because you believe it doesn't mean it's true. Just because you feel it doesn't mean it's true. And not all roads lead to heaven or peace with God. That's not true either. But that you may know Well, what do we know? The Bible says that one day, maybe today, maybe not, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. One day in the course of eternity, all of mankind will take a knee before the King of Kings. Now, the beauty in my life and in your life is this, is I've chose to do it now. And I'm reaping the benefits of that. And I've chosen to do it voluntarily. How many of you would rather volunteer to go to the dentist than have to go to the dentist in an emergency? If you hadn't raised your hand, then you've never had a dental emergency. Because you're thinking, someone just cut my head off, please. So you've got the bad teeth, they must have the good teeth. Or they've got the good prescriptions. I don't know. Anyway, but the beauty is that one day there will be a public profession of this truth, but as a Christian, I choose to do it now, and I choose to do it every day, and I choose to do it moment by moment, and I'm reaping the benefits of that because, listen, living with God, for God, and by God is good. I highly recommend it. And heaven too. I get the best this world has to offer and heaven. Now it says that you may have eternal life. Listen, you have eternal life, my friends. The question is where are you going to spend it? You're an eternal being. Death may take you from this existence, but you're an eternal being. So John writes this and he says, I want you to know. My friends, I want you to know. To know that you know, the old evangelist used to say. Not in an arrogant, not in a cocky, not in a superior mindset, but to know that you know. Listen, heaven is as sure for me as if I'm standing there now. Not because I deserve it, but because Jesus promised it. Amen? So you can know that you know. And I think a church that knows what it knows is a church that's invincible, that's unstoppable, and that will draw all men to itself. Not because we're perfect. Lord knows, I'm looking around. And you're all looking at me. It's funny, when I say that, all of you are looking at me and you're going, well, Jimmy, if it weren't for you, we might could have a shot. Anyway, so let's meet our author real quick. Like I said, we want to get kind of through. We got a few things this morning. So let's meet our author. Who wrote the letters of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John? Well, these were penned by the Apostle John, who also wrote the book of John, which we studied not so long ago. And also, what was the other letter that John wrote? The letter of Revelation. So John writes these three, and these three were written after John, but before Revelation, okay? And these are written to believers, and it's going to cover certain contexts. This is a very specific written. So let's look a little bit about John. John was the son of Zebedee and the younger brother of James. If you read Scripture, you have the 12 apostles, and in that 12, you have Peter, James, and John. That's kind of the inner circle. And you know, it's funny, is we don't like to think about that, but good leadership always has a smaller circle because the number of people you can significantly influence is smaller than a large crowd. And so Jesus had Peter, James, and John, and James is the older brother of John. So this is him. Jesus referred to these two as the sons of thunder. Now, how would you like that one? I got to tell you, I'd buy that t-shirt. Oh, well, here's Pastor Jimmy. He's a son of thunder. Open that shirt up, right? Now, the problem is with nicknames is they don't often come from the best things in life. Did you hear that? It'll be all right, though. I'm not afraid. Sometimes we get nicknames from things we'd rather not have nicknames for. You know, Zacchaeus, wee little man, Thomas, the doubter. Does any of you guys have a nickname that you really wish you didn't have? I'm not going to ask you to say it. Okay, so what is it? But the sons of thunder, Jesus called them because they were passionate, and sometimes their passion took them over into bad actions. They were in a town one time preaching, and the town wasn't really responding the way they wanted, and so you know their answer was this, don't love them more, let's just call down fire. Let's just call down fire, wipe them out. Let's make them an example. Sons of thunder. Church tradition claims that John was the only apostle of the 12 that did not die a death of a martyr's death. it's believed he passed at about the age of 84. So that's very interesting. And there's some other things about John that are very interesting. Because one of the things, when I read a book, I want to know, who's the author? What direction is he coming from? What do other people think about this book? Because I don't know about you, but I only have 24 hours in a day. And with ADD and dyslexia, reading, well, it's not a pleasure. It's an exercise. And so I don't want to waste my time reading every book that comes down the pipe. I want to invest well. And so when we're looking at John, we ask ourselves this question. Why would we want to read what John has written? Well, first of all, it's in the Bible. Scoreboard, But also, John was the apostle who stayed with Jesus at the crucifixion. If you remember, Jesus went on the cross and taking care of his mother, he says, John, this is your mother, and mother, this is your son John. Taking over that care for his mother, which was